I'm Nina.
And welcome back to another episode of our podcast,
The Underground Economists.
So today we're going to be talking about billionaires, and we're going to specifically be covering how they accumulate their money, how they evade taxes, how they spend their wealth, and ways in which the government tries to reduce income inequality.
Okay, so before we talk about specifically how they accumulate their money, we wanted to focus a little bit on understanding what it means to be a billionaire.
So consider this, if you worked every day, right, making $5,000 a day, a fair enough amount of money, from the time Christopher Columbus sailed to the Americas in 1492 to 2021 today, you still would not be a billionaire. In fact, you'd have less money than what Jeff Bezos accumulates in 1 week. And that's because he has a net worth of $114 billion, which equates to roughly $2.2 billion a week, or $312 million a day. And he's not the only one either. In the US alone, there are 607 billionaires, of which many are multi-billionaires, meaning they amass more than $100 per second. So one of the most prominent ways in which billionaires accumulate their wealth is through the exploitation of large communities. If you take the example of Kylie Jenner, right? She's been criticized due to the claims of Bangladeshi workers that said they were receiving little pay. And a more notable example is Jeff Bezos, who is infamous for the atrocious working conditions of Amazon employees and the poor pay they receive. With one Amazon warehouse associate in Phoenix, Arizona saying, quote, "We have no more wipes and hand sanitizer. We aren't provided masks, don't have the proper gloves, and not everything is being sanitized and cleaned before it comes to use," end quote. Another worker spoke to The Guardian and claimed that warehouses were not being closed for deep cleaning and that physical distancing was failing as hundreds could be working in the same building during a shift. And several also said that the firm was delaying sharing news that workers had tested positive.
So you may be wondering how cheap labor can help entrepreneurs become billionaires, and the answer revolves significantly around Marx's labor theory of value. So this basically refers to the understanding that the value of goods and services is based off the average amount of time that goes into producing that commodity. For example, making a pencil has a significantly shorter production and manufacturing time than computers, which is one of the reasons why pencils are relatively cheaper. Similarly, anything that's going to take a lot more human labor and human time to create is going to cost more than something that didn't. So for this reason, Marx has argued that labor itself has become some sort of special commodity in our capitalist society.
So bosses buy an employee's ability to work in exchange for a wage, right? But the worker will normally create more value during his or her shift than the daily wages with which the capitalist purchases her labor power. So labor power, therefore, is a very special commodity, but it's the bosses, not the laborers themselves, who reap the advantages. In this case, labor power value reflects the labor time required to keep the worker alive, like reproducing their capacity and readiness to go to work every day and to keep their children alive so that they may one day replace them in the workforce.
The value of food, rent, clothing, training, and education, along with other necessities, are deemed essential by society and therefore make up the value of labor power. If, for example, your average daily needs cost about $120, that is the value of your labor, as you need at least this amount to survive. But if workers and employers met each other on an equal playing field, as capitalism's ideologues would have us believe, you would give over to your boss only the amount of time it takes to reproduce the value of your labor power. So say it takes 4 hours to produce $120 worth of goods, that equivalent of your daily wage, you could go home after 4 hours. But your boss won't allow that, and that is because your inputs and outputs would be equal in that case. And what would be the point of that? Because you might as well just start with the amount of money that you're starting with. Because if you're going to earn $120 for the goods, but you're going to pay your worker $120, you'll be equal.
So let's say you work for Starbucks, right? And they pay you $120 for an 8-hour shift. But you can probably make $120 worth of fancy sounding coffee drinks in an hour or less at a busy store. Even once you subtract the cost of materials and use of the equipment, Starbucks doesn't pay you nearly the value you've created, which is hundreds of dollars a day. Employers buy your labor power from you, not the actual fruits of your labor, and you make that value back for them in an hour or two. The rest of your shift, you're basically just working for free. The extra value produced during the stolen time, or the surplus value, as Marx called it, is the basis of capitalist profits.
so next we thought we'd talk a little bit into some statistics and things that relate to billionaires that you might not already know. So to start, pre-COVID, 38 million Americans lived in poverty, with 78% of workers living paycheck to paycheck, and half of all American families, which is 61 million households, not able to afford basics like food and rent.
As well as this, 30 million Americans didn't have health insurance, and another 18 million were underinsured, meaning they skipped the doctor because it cost too much.
1 million Americans go bankrupt every year from medical bills, and 40% don't have $400 in the bank to cover emergency expenses.
80% of families have an average debt load of $135,768, and 44 million Americans are burdened with student debt, and over 2 million of them owe more than $100,000. And you can only imagine the extent to which this is worsened because of the pandemic.
So now that we've talked a little bit about the statistics, we're going to go a little bit further into billionaires and talk about how, you know, there are these polar opposites between billionaires and the people we mentioned before who are living in poverty and don't have enough finance to get themselves through everyday life.
For example, Bernie Sanders, who has actively spoken about how problematic income inequality and billionaires are, believes that these conditions are related and that the super rich flourish because the rest of the world doesn't. Worker productivity has been up 70% since 1980, yet wages are only up 11%. So worker share of income is going down while corporate profits are going up. The rich just get richer at your expense.
The median Amazon worker makes $28,000 per year. Jeff Bezos collects more than this in 10 seconds. His company paid $0 in federal income tax in 2018, despite $11 billion in profits. The reason? Regulatory capture, which is a form of government failure. In other words, connections to other wealthy individuals who act as regulatory bodies but were previously in the field, meaning they have significant connections. As Forbes magazine put it, Trump's tax cuts helped billionaires pay less than the working class in 2018. As of 2018, the 400 richest Americans paid lower tax rate than every other income group.
So now we're going to move on and focus on how billionaires spend their money. So one of the main ways in which they do this is through big philanthropy. So you've obviously got normal charity that you and me do, like giving away 200 dirhams to a homeless shelter or raising money for cancer. But then you've got big philanthropy, which billionaires partake in, that aims to benefit themselves while still keeping their records squeaky clean. So one main thing to focus on is something called a pooled income fund, which can provide tax benefits and support for charities. A pooled income fund is a type of charitable trust established and maintained by a qualified nonprofit organization. The fund receives irrevocable contributions from one or more individuals, a family, or a charity. So you've got lots of charities or funds that you can put your income into that then make that money exempt from tax. For example, a donor advice fund or DAF. Now that generally sounds great, right? Because you're essentially giving more cash to your given charity than if you would still have had to pay tax, right? But what happens is after you donate your tax-free money, you don't have to give it to a charity right away. In fact, that money in the fund is allowed to sit there indefinitely.
Another type of philanthropy that billionaires like to get involved with are civic groups and the 501c4, which are basically organizations that promote social and political causes while letting you keep your donations anonymous. It is actually thought, however, that these specific donations are used to manipulate the world and politics while keeping billionaires' names out of them, which makes them quite controversial. Moving on, something we think that billionaires should spend more on is going to be helping in the climate crisis and helping out with the environmental degradation. So if you listened to our podcast last time, we talked about environmental economics, and we think that billionaires are a great way to help with this issue of the carbon crisis, environmental degradation, and climate change. So carbon engineering, which is an initiative led by David Keith, involves taking carbon out of the atmosphere at a cost of $100 per tonne. Theoretically, this means that all emissions could be taken out of our atmosphere at 3 trillion per year, which sounds like a lot, but if we redirect the subsidies that we give to fossil fuel industries, which is around 5 trillion, we could definitely do this. But there are many engineering and technological barriers in doing so. If we figure out how to do this, we could continue polluting at the same amount we do now, which isn't ideal in the short term, but could give us some extra time to implement greener technology around the world. Another way in which we could fund these, you know, amazing efforts in order to reduce our carbon footprint would be getting billionaires to be involved. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, for example, have actually signed a pledge giving away more than half of their wealth to charitable causes. To date, more than 204 individuals and families have pledged to donate over $500 billion to causes that involve environmental sustainability, environmental causes. Gates has particularly been investing and promoting negative emissions technology.
However, despite all these amazing ventures, Bill Gates' fortune is still over $102 billion as of April 2020, raising the question of where the rest of his wealth actually goes. In April 2020, Bezos pledged $100 million to Feeding America to aid in providing food for those facing financial hardships during the COVID-19 crisis. This amount of money seems generous, but it's only 0.06% of Bezos' net worth. Since the start of COVID, Bezos has accumulated $34.6 billion. Overall, American billionaires have become $434 billion richer as of May 21st, while the unemployment rate reached a peak of 14.7% in April 2020. It is a destruction of morality to accumulate that much wealth, I think.
One thing that's wrong about most people's interpretations of billionaires is the overwhelming thing that, well, billionaires don't actually have $1 billion or more in their bank account. Sure, some may, and others might have a huge amount of money in property or similar assets, but billionaires like Jeff Bezos had the overwhelming majority of their net worth tied up in stocks.
So the argument that billionaires should be taxed a huge amount to help with social inequality is fatally flawed, I think, because sure, a massive influx of cash might solve a few smaller problems. It won't stop the main causes of inequality. I think if we as a society want to try to combat inequality and uplift people from less financially lucky backgrounds, maybe we should start by lowering the cost of university. Instead of blaming billionaires for all the world woes, maybe look at pharmaceutical companies and ask why the cost of insulin is so high. Also, another minor thing to consider is that if you impose a tax on the wealthy, that may just discourage them from hiring more employees or encourage them to make more workers redundant. For example, if you take Bezos, what's to say he just doesn't fire a bunch of people to maintain his extra profits?
Finally, we wanted to talk about wealth tax and policies put in place to redistribute wealth. So I recently read about how Gates suggested raising the capital gains tax, which is tax levied on profits earned when a property or investment is sold. Currently, the capital gain tax is 20% on the net capital gains when the taxpayer's taxable income is higher than the threshold for the regular 37% tax rate. Further, Gates advocated raising the estate tax, which is levied on the cash, property, real estate, and other assets of a deceased person when it is transferred to another person. This works theoretically, as wealthy people will pass more on to their children and future generations, whereas poorer individuals may not be able to. By increasing this form of tax, there'll be a greater redistribution of wealth from the wealthier individuals to those in poverty, creating a more level field for the children starting up in future generations.
So focusing on more recent policies put into place, Biden's tax plan would repeal the major tax reductions passed in 2017. It would increase the top individual federal income tax from 37% to the pre-Trump rate of 39.6%, and the corporate rate from 21% to 28%. Tax rates would be graduated so that individual taxpayers with incomes below $400,000 would not see rate increases. One extremely beneficial thing that we can see as well happening right now is that the carried interest rate loophole will disappear, and those earning $1 million or more would pay ordinary income tax rates on investment income. So basically, this carried interest loophole allowed Wall Street firms like private equity and hedge funds to pay the lower capital gains rate on their income of 20%, rather than paying the ordinary income tax rates up to 37%. The increase in corporate tax rate from 21 to 28% will prevent profitable companies from paying no tax. All corporations would be subject to a 15% alternative minimum tax, or AMT, on book profits of $100 million or more. These corporations would be liable for the greater of the regular tax, or the AMT.
So how does this benefit individuals and families? The Biden tax plan also emphasizes new and revised tax benefits for working families. A key element of the president's policy is the use of tax credits, often refundable, rather than tax reductions, to counter the greater savings and deductions provided to higher income taxpayers compared to lower and middle income individuals. So there is no question that we have rising inequality in the US, but instead of targeting the income and wealth at the top end, policies are now more focused on raising incomes at the bottom and in the middle so that everyone can be wealthier. Despite having progressive tax systems, no tax system is perfect. And this is because the wealthier individuals will often find loopholes and strategies to minimize their taxes. And so blanket statements that billionaires should not exist do nothing to further this conversation.
Okay, I think that wraps up our podcast episode. So thanks for listening and tune in next week or next month, depending on how many tests we have. Thank you.